Hello, students. This is Professor Adam Crowley, broadcasting live out of Bangor, Maine, for the very first podcast for our course this semester. And this podcast is intended for the Approaches to Literature course for the Monday, Wednesday, and Friday section of that course. And what I'm going to do over the next couple of moments is go over what we talked about in class today, which was rhyme and poetry, as well as several other things that dealt with the structure of poetry. Earlier this week, we were talking about syntax and poetry, and how if we examine the syntax, the way in which the poet puts their words together, we can gain some really valuable insights into the speaker of a poem, or the audience of a poem, or the situation that's being described in a poem. And what we were saying today is that, well, just as a poet will use syntax to emphasize certain words or phrases or ideas, poets also use rhyming to emphasize certain words and phrases. For example, if we think about The Raven by Edgar Allan Poe, if you hear the line, "Once upon a midnight dreary, as I pondered weak and weary," well, those words dreary and weary rhyme. And the reason they rhyme, or one of the reasons, is that Poe wants to draw our attention to those words. He wants to emphasize them kind of in our ears over the other lines, or other words, excuse me, in that line. So once upon is not emphasized as dreary or weary. What we took from that is, well, if a poet wants to emphasize certain words, then there must be a reason for that. There must be, you know, a really good reason for that, and they must be wanting to draw our attention to those words. And they do that for a number of reasons. We examined a few of them in class today. One of the reasons I said, and I gave you the example of the alphabet song, which is a really basic example, but if you think about how that song goes, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, and Z. Certain letters in the alphabet song rhyme with one another, G, P, V, and Z. And by rhyming with one another, if you listen to that song, what those rhymes do is they break up the 26 letters that are in the alphabet. Now, if those letters weren't broken up into those lines, then it would be pretty hard to remember all of that. Think about trying to learn a phone number that was 26 numbers long. You'd get it eventually, but it would be a hard phone number to remember. Well, there are 26 letters in our alphabet, but because we break them up with these little rhyming words that kind of give us these endpoints to stop at for a second, we can remember it easier or more easily. Now, I'm not saying that's what Edgar Allan Poe was trying to do, but what I am trying to say is that rhymes help break up the information in a poem, and they help break it up into kind of digestible chunks, which is kind of a gross analogy, but we are talking about The Raven here, so I think it's appropriate. And then we said, well, poets don't just want to have certain words that rhyme, they also want to make sure that they have certain rhyme schemes that they're following. Again, if we go back to the alphabet song, the letters G, P, V, and Z all have an E sound at the end, and that's why they rhyme with each other. That's the vowel sound that's being repeated. Well, if we look at a poem like Stopping by Woods on a Snowy Evening, which we examined earlier this semester, what we saw is that if you look at that poem, there are certain kinds of rhymes that show up. In class, I said if you look at each of the first three stanzas, what you're going to find is that at the end of the first line, the second line, and the fourth line, you're going to find words that rhyme with each other. But at the end of the third line, you're going to find a word that doesn't rhyme with anything else in the stanza, or any other final end line word. If you go through the poem, you find that same pattern repeated in the first three stanzas, but then in the fourth stanza, what you find is a stanza in which every word at the end of each line, or each word at the end of each line, rhymes with every other end word. So it's a different setup. And the question I asked you is, well, why does Frost suddenly change the rhyme scheme at the end of the poem? And some very good answers came up, but I pointed out, you know, he changes that rhyme scheme right around the word sleep. And remember, sleep is a very important word in that poem, and it has a lot of, it can really, if you think about, you know, think about that word, think about how it's used, think about its implications, it can tell us an awful lot about the speaker in the poem, about the audience for the poem, and about the situation that's being addressed in the poem. So just like, to go back to syntax here for a minute, a poet will change their syntax, okay, in order to draw attention to a certain word or a phrase, a poet will change their rhyme scheme to draw attention to a word or phrase, usually for an important reason. we looked at a few sonnets by Shakespeare, and I pointed out that these sonnets followed very, very, very rigorous rhyme schemes. And we went through and looked at those, and we asked ourselves with a few examples, you know, why is the poet following these rhyme schemes? Why is he doing that? And what we saw is that if you look at a Shakespearean sonnet, you have a kind of an established rhyme scheme that gets set up very early on, A, B, A, B, A, B. But if you get to the end of the rhyme scheme, that A, B rhyme pattern breaks up, and suddenly you have A, A. And why is that important? It means that the very last word in a Shakespearean sonnet kind of steps out of that established rhyme scheme, and that is a big indicator that that last word is really important, because Shakespeare is kind of throwing away the rhyme scheme he's been working with when he gets to that last word. So what does that mean for you? Well, in a real practical sense, it means pay attention to the last word in a Shakespearean sonnet, because Shakespeare is thinking an awful lot about what he's going to put there, because that word is going to really resonate, really stand out, really be emphasized because of the way it's stepping out of the rhyme scheme. And that was a way in which we discussed the poem. We also thought a little bit about a few other ways for structuring a poem. We looked at Walt Whitman's Astronomer poem, a poem in which there is no rhyme. Well, what did he do if he couldn't rhyme? How did he emphasize words? Well, what Whitman did was he repeated certain phrases. The phrase, when I, shows up again and again and again in that poem. And we talked about why that might be the case. We ended class today by looking at a poem by E.E. Cummings, which is a poem that I don't even know what to call it. Loneliness, A Leaf Falls. The way in which the poem was written, you couldn't tell what it was titled. You really couldn't tell how to read it. But you did know, after you finished it, that the poem was about a leaf falling, or talked about a leaf falling. It also contained the word loneliness. This was a strange little poem in which there was no rhyme, in which no words were repeated, in which, in fact, there are no words, except, I believe, for one. The word one shows up on a single line. And all you have is this kind of line of letters going down the side of the page. If you look in your book, you'll remember what I'm talking about. Well, here's a really neat way to organize information, and it doesn't have anything to do with rhyme or with repetition, but what it is it's a, again, I'll use the word mimetic structure, in which the poet, Cummings, is trying to represent the falling of a leaf with his letters. Now that's really neat, because he's kind of bringing together, words and an image, and he's kind of crashing it all together in one single poem. So we talked about that as being a strategy that poets are going to use as well. How is this important? Well, today, you're leaving, you're going home or back to your dorms, and you're starting to work on your papers, which are due on Monday, and you can write on whatever you choose, or whatever you choose to write on that we discussed in class, but you might want to use rhyme. You might want to talk about repetition, or you might want to talk about mimetic structures in poetry when you're writing your essay. Okay, well, I hope that this podcast has been useful, and that you can take it with you and listen to it wherever you may be. It's the first of many, and I will be posting others soon. If you have any questions, please let me know. Send me an email or stop by my office hours. I'll see you on Monday. Bye.